Tuyarita pratyaya sarva vritishu. Riya sarva vritishu. Dwa steshu parishvapi shayiteshvata. Sayateshvapi yata. Dwarascha sarva pihita durachaya. Brahat kapataya sakila shrinkalai. Well, no one else. Okay, I'm just going to read the second verse here, and then we'll go on to the word by word synonyms. Ta Krishna vahi vasudeva gate swayam vyavarhayantak yattatamo. Rave, sorry. Vavarsha parjanya upham shugarjata sheshon vagad varini varayana panai. Okay, word by word synonyms. Taya, by the influence of yoga maya. Rita pratyaya. Deprived of all sensation. Sarva vrittishu. Having all their senses. Dvasteshu. All the doormen. Pareshu api. As well as other members of the house. Shaiteshu. Sleeping very deeply. Ata. When Vasudeva tried to take his transcendental son out of confinement. Dwaracha. As well as the doors. Sarva. All. Pihita. Constructed. Durachaya, very hard and firm. Brahat kapata, and on great doors. Ayasakila shrinkalai, strongly constructed with iron pins and closed with iron chains. Ta. All of them. Krishna Vahe. Bearing Krishna. Vasudeva. When Vasudeva. Agate. Appeared. Swayam. Automatically. Vyavaryanta. Opened wide. Yata, as, tama, darkness, rave, on the appearance of the sun, vavarsha, showered rain, parjanya, the clouds in the sky, upamshu garjata, very mildly resounding and raining very slightly. Shesha Ananta Naga Anvagat. No, I'm sorry, Anvagat. Followed. Vari showers. Showers of rain, sorry. Nivarana Yan. Stopping. Panai. By spreading his hoods. So translation, by the influence of yoga maya. All the doorkeepers fell fast asleep, their senses unable to work, and the other inhabitants of the house also fell deeply asleep. When the sun rises, the darkness automatically disappears. Similarly, when Vasudeva appeared, the closed doors, which were strongly pinned with iron and locked with iron chains, opened automatically. Since the clouds in the sky were mildly thundering and showering, Anantashesh, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, followed Vasudeva, beginning from the door with hoods expanded to protect Vasudeva and the transcendental child. I think I'll take this garland off because I get definitely nice bugs. They're ants. They're kind, but they're a little bothersome. We get them for free. So, purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shesha Nag is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose business is to serve the Lord with all necessary paraphernalia. When Vasudeva was carrying the child, Shesha Nag came to serve the Lord and protect him from the mild showers of rain. So there's two topics we're going to talk about today, just to give an introduction. One is Sheshanag, or how the Lord actually becomes his own servant, because this touches upon some of the things we talked about the first day I was here. And secondly, we're going to talk about the Lord's protection and maintenance as we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranging everything for Vasudeva to go to Vrindavan and protecting him in many different ways and opening up the jail cells and the locks and putting everybody to sleep. Pretty nice, isn't it? So sometimes I wish that would happen for us too. That when we needed something, everybody... Well, Bhagavatam class, everyone goes to sleep automatically anyway. But that's the time when we don't want people to go to sleep. I remember in the early days of the movement, some devotee had to carry around a bottle, like a squirt bottle, and squirt everyone's face as they were falling asleep during Bhagavatam class. So, anyway, so let's get on to the topic. So Anantashesh, let's talk about Anantashesh first. Anantashesh, of course, is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And he is serving Krishna. And we know that Anantashesh is what tattva? Does anyone know? Vishnu tattva. Of course, sometimes the shesh has expansions in this material world that are jiva tattva, but that's something different. And that you find descriptions in the Bhagavatam, and sometimes it gets a little confusing. But the Anantashesh that serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, serves as his hood, serves as his bed, serves as his umbrella, serves as his Brahman thread. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all this is discussed. Serves as his everything, you know, resting place, the Singhasana. Did you know that? Singhasana? Singhasana is the lion, means lion throne. That's what the deity sits on. And even the temple itself, just like when we talk about, what is it? Mandira Marjanado. Everybody knows what that means? You chant it every morning. Means cleaning the temple. So you're actually doing deity service when you're cleaning the temple. So that's an expansion of Anantashesh. So it's amazing that Anantashesh, of course Anantashesh is also Balaram, Lord Nityananda. He's serving Krishna. So that's amazing, isn't it? That Krishna is serving himself. That's one of the interactions we talked about that are simply achincha the other day. That Krishna can fight with himself in terms of his expansions. He can serve himself in terms of his expansions. And we generally find that whenever Krishna appears in his various expansions, there's the, what we call the, what, Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha means Vasudev, the original Vasudev, Vasudev, you know, with a long A, is Krishna. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. Sankarshan, of course, is Shesh. And let's take the pastime, okay, of Lord Ram. So who appeared as Shesh in Lord Ram's pastime? He's a test for all of you. Lakshman. And Lakshman, he served the Lord in so many amazing ways during those pastimes. Some of the acharyas describe he didn't even eat the whole time they were in the forest, because Lord Ram didn't even ask him to eat. And Lord Ram was served in such a menial way. Ram and, of course, Sita Devi were served in such a menial way. And even up to the point when Sita Devi was finally rescued, of course, we understand from the acharyas it was actually the Maya Sita who was taken by Ravana, that Ram ordered Lakshman to make a fire so that Sita Devi could enter the fire. Or he didn't know, but it was Maya Sita. And Ram and Lakshman had to obey the Lord's order. He obeyed. He didn't like it. He had to obey the Lord's order. Later on, Lakshman had to drop Sita Devi off in the forest. When Ram was being criticized by this washerman, and the washerman was saying, how could Ram, the king, he's supposed to be like a detached king, accept Sita Devi back when she was in the house of someone else? Because he was trying to make an excuse for himself. He was rejecting his wife, his own wife, because his wife had gone away shopping or something like that at the mall. I know there are no malls there. But anyway, so Ram thought, you know, I need to have a good reputation, so let me send Sita Devi away. That's a story that I don't like that much. But in any case, and he asked Lakshman to do it. Sita Devi didn't even know where she was going. And Lakshman was crying. You know, so in this way he was serving in a very menial fashion. Of course, he had some objections, because later on he begged Ram that in future incarnations, I want to be your older brother instead of your younger brother, because as your younger brother, I have to serve you. Your older brother, I won't have to serve you. But he didn't understand that even when Ram appeared as Krishna and Shesh or Lakshman appeared as Balaram, that Balaram had to serve Krishna, even though he was the older brother and Krishna wouldn't listen to him. Like, you know, Krishna definitely violated etiquette in so many different ways. Like, in Indian culture, you're supposed to listen to your older brother regardless. You're not even allowed to get married in Indian culture until your older brother gets married first. You know, really strict stuff there. You know, here in the West, it doesn't matter, you know. People get married, they don't get married. Who cares? Everything goes in the Western world, isn't it? Of course, in India, it's getting like that, too. So Balaram, he wanted... excuse me. He wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhana. And Krishna thought, you know, I don't want to listen to my older brother. And he arranged for Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra. So in this way, interesting interaction. But in any case, Balaram served Krishna, even though he didn't want to in that particular incarnation. So we find this. And one interesting thing about the Lord serving himself is the whole controversy about how people worship Govardhan. You know, some people will say, like, I worship Govardhan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I put a flute on him. I have my own Govardhan Shilas. I put a flute on him. And I give him a flute, peacock feather, flute, everything else. And people say, don't you understand? He's Haridas Varya. He's a servant of Krishna. He's not Harida. He's not Hari. He's not Krishna. And I said, he's both. Don't you understand, you rascal? No, I don't say that because I don't want to offend devotees. So you can worship him in any mood, but even as Haridas Varya, Haridas Varya means the best of what? The servants of Hari. Even as Haridas Varya, he's worshipable. You understand? Because actually, as we mentioned the other day, to worship Krishna's devotee, to serve Krishna's devotee is more exalted than Krishna serving Krishna. So when you serve Govardhan, you're actually serving Krishna's devotee and serving Krishna directly. Pretty cool. You get both benefits at that particular point. And actually, when you serve Balaram, it's the same thing. And Balaram, of course, is the original what? Does anyone know? Spiritual master. Nayamatma balahinena labdwa, which means no one gets the mercy of Krishna without getting the mercy of Balaram. Balaram. Balaram hoilin dai, and Balaram represents the spiritual master. So anyway, but generally the spiritual master is not Vishnu Tattva. Generally he's Jiva Tattva. But in certain cases, like Nityananda, he's Vishnu Tattva. Nityananda is the original guru. So anyway, so this is the point about Shesha serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, an even more interesting point about this verse is the Lord's protection and the Lord's maintenance of a devotee. Of course, these are two surrendering practices that we hear about according to the Acharyas and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sharanagati. You know, the six surrendering practices are to accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, and to understand the Lord is always protecting one and maintaining one, right? Isn't that right? So, and then also, the last two are the hardest. Well, the last one's the hardest for me. Have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. And the last one is mean, meek and humble. Impossible. So, Chanadapi sunichena turodiva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtinya sadhari. So, anyway, so these are the six hereditary principles. And Krishna in the Gita, what does he say? On 922, does anyone remember what 922 is in the Gita? Any of your bhakti scholars here? What's 922? What? Ananyas? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we have a scholar here. 922. Ananyas chintayantamam yai janak pariyupasate tesham nityabhiyuktamam yogik shema vahamiham. For one who is dedicated to me, what? I carry, just to make it, summarize it, I carry what they lack, I preserve what they have. Wow. Because the real key is ananyas chintayantamam, which means they're completely ananya, which means no other focus. So there's an interesting story that's told by the Acharyas in this regard, because Krishna directly does it. Such an interesting story, I thought I would relate this story. That once upon a time, there was a very poor Brahmin. People tell the story in different ways. One person even said it was Jayadev Goswami, but that's not really how the story, it's not Jayadev Goswami who did this. There was a poor Brahmin, and this poor Brahmin was very dedicated. He was actually a Brahmin in the sense that he just depended upon begging, what's called madukari, like going to different people's homes and collecting little grains or different things like that. And so he was dependent upon begging, and he would study the Bhagavad Gita every day. And he loved Krishna, but I guess his faith wasn't that strong. Because he read this one verse, Nanyas Jintayanto Mam Yajanak Paripatsa, Tesham Satyutana. So he said, where Krishna says, Vahami Yaham, that I actually am the one who protects. Well, you know, Krishna in the verse says, I personally do it. Many Mayavadis object. This guy wasn't a Mayavadi. But many Mayavadis object to the point when Krishna says, Mam, you know, that meditate on me. Think of me, become my devotee, and uses the personal pronoun me all the time, or mam. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vashasi sachante patijina priyosi me. I don't remember how many times he used the word mam in that particular verse, but quite a few times. And the impersonalist, like Dr. Radhakrishna, who Prabhupada criticized quite often, he used to be the president of India, they say it's not to personal Krishna. It's to the impersonal, unborn being, inside or outside of Krishna. So that's kind of stupid, isn't it? Like if I say to someone, bring me some prasadam, they say, well, bring it to the guru tattva principle, not to the person guru, but to the tattva, you know, the whatever it is, principle. So that's, so this Brahman, he wasn't a Mayavadi, but he thought Krishna is wrong. It's not that he personally does these things, right? But he, if he does them at all, and I'm not even sure of that because I'm pretty poor. If he does it at all, it's through his energies. And otherwise, you know, I'm the one who's going out and begging every day, not Krishna. You know, Krishna doesn't bring me things. And so he got really upset with Krishna. He was a devotee, but he got upset with Krishna. And as you find, devotees get upset with Krishna for some reason or other. Jai, Shishi Panchatattva, Shishi Gornataya Ki Jai. So anyway, he got upset with Krishna, and he sort of scratched out this part of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, he said, this is not really accurate. You know, Krishna is, you know, he's a little tricky. He lies. He lied in the battle of Kurukshetra, so he's also lying in the Bhagavad Gita. We know Krishna doesn't always tell the truth. Krishna dances with other people's wives in the middle of the night. He steals butter. He pinches babies. You know, we have some doubts about him. I mean, I don't have any doubts about him. His doing all these things is nice. But at the same time, Krishna is not our role model. Please do not take Krishna as your role model. Don't go around pinching babies. Don't go around stealing. Don't go around lying. Take Lord Rama as your role model. Rama is actually the best role model. So anyways, this Brahman, he scratched out this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and he thought, now it's time for me to go out and beg. Krishna's not going to take care of me. Okay. So he goes out and begs, and all day long, nobody gives him one grain of rice. Poor Brahman. He's begging, begging, begging. And he's chanting. He says, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Give me some rice, Krishna, come on. Like sometimes, devotees are on Sankirtan, and they're trying to distribute a book. And Krishna, Krishna, let this person take a book. Why is he not taking a book? Why is he not taking a book? What's wrong with you, Krishna? Well, Krishna may be making you humble. I remember one time I was extremely proud. I was in Sankirtan. And I bragged to the other devotees that I could distribute a book to anyone. I'm empowered by the Lord. You know, I was a young brahmachari, 21 years old. Don't worry. I've grown up since then. So I was, took some time. So I was out and thinking, I can sell that to the devotees. So I went out and I'm going, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And for the whole day, nobody would take a book for me or even give me the time when I asked them what time it was. So there was a reason Krishna did that, you understand. So this Brahman was out there, you know, he's losing more and more faith in Krishna. Meantime, back at home, his wife's sitting there, and she's really hungry. Poor girl. Really hungry. So she hears a knock on the door. She says, who's there? And the little boy says, it's me, your husband's disciple. And she says, my husband, he doesn't have any disciples. He's just a poor Brahmin. You know, who's going to become his disciple? Usually want to become a disciple of someone who's, you know, a little charismatic or rich or something like that, or famous or handsome or something. Yeah, you want a super guru. So that's not an ordinary run-of-the-mill guru. Superstar. Was that guru superstar? So anyway, so what happens is that, so she opens the door gradually, and she sees this little boy carrying sacks of milk and ghee and all sorts of like vegetables and grains. It's like he's like one of those. Do you ever see in India one of these asses that is carrying a big load? It's a little tiny ass, not that small, donkey, for those of you who don't know what that is. You know, he's real small, and the load is going up to the ceiling, basically, and it looks like it's walking across the street by itself. So this kid looked like that, you know. And he says, how did my husband do this to you? And he says, not only did your husband do this, but he shows his back to the lady. And his back is all like scratched up and bleeding. And the lady says, oh, what a husband I have. I mean, he never beat me. Oh my God, now he's showing his real qualities. I guess he was so angry when he started to scratch out the Bhagavad Gita that he wanted to take his anger out on everybody. So she says to the boy, you know, come into the house. And she said, I'm going to feed you. She goes in the kitchen to cook. Meantime, the husband comes back. Husband comes back, and she blasts the husband with both barrels, as they say. You know what both barrels means? No. That means like they have these shotguns, you know, with two barrels in it. That's an American expression. We always use gun expressions in America. You know, you rascal! You cruel person, the poor guy, you know, he's just like, oh my God, my wife has turned into like Serpanaka or something like that. The poor guy is just like shivering there, you know. He's cornered. Like, I mean, it's really heavy when people are married, chastised by their wives. Some of you who are married may understand what I'm saying. It's scary. So anyway, so he was there in the corner. And he was, anyway, shivering. She says, what do you do to your disciples? And he said, what disciple? Why do you have all these products? She said, your disciple brought them back and you beat him, you scratched him. I'll show you. And she said, well, he's in the next room. And the man goes in the next room. Nobody there. Nobody there. And he says, his wife, what did he look like? Well, a little bluish skin, you know, long black hair, you know, really attractive young man. Threefold bending form. So he gets the hint after a while, you know, oh my God, it's Krishna. So then he goes back to the Bhagavad Gita and he uses his magic eraser or whatever they use those days. And he writes the verse down again. And he understands it's Krishna. So Krishna does that for his devotees. And that's amazing, isn't it? And there's many other stories. And of course you have the story of Prahlad Maharaj, how Krishna personally protected him. You have other stories, you know, many, many, many stories. You have Srivast Thakur's story, how Lord Chaitanya asked Srivast Thakur, how do you maintain yourself? And Srivast Thakur said, I have a 1-2-3 technique. If I don't eat for 3 days, I'll drown myself in the Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna will always take care of you, even if the goddess of fortune goes begging. Then you will never have to beg. Krishna protected Haridas Thakur when he was being whipped. Krishna protected Magrari the hunter. Krishna provided for Magrari the hunter after he started chanting Hare Krishna. Amazing, isn't it? All these different stories. Krishna protected Draupadi, right? When Draupadi was the attempted disrobing. Of course, Krishna protected her when she surrendered to Krishna. Before that, when she was trying to protect herself, she wasn't able to do that. So you have all these amazing stories. So the question I wanted to raise is, why doesn't it work for me? I'll tell you a funny story, and I related this in other classes, but not here, that one day I was driving my car, and I thought, you know, I just want to take advantage and speed a little bit. So I went fast, really fast, twice the speed limit. And all of a sudden I see flashing lights behind me. They're not the Yamadutas, don't worry. I'm still in the body. So I see flashing lights and I'm pulled over by the police. But then they start chanting, praying to Lord Nrsingadev, Krishna, and everything like that. And Krishna, Krishna. just let him let me off. Let him, you know, I'm wearing a dhoti driving. So let him think that, you know, I'm religious, everything like that. And let him, he'll be kind to me. Krishna, protect me, protect me, protect me. You promised in the Bhagavad Gita, ananyas chintayanto mam ye janak paripasate tesham nityuyuktamam yogakshemavahamyam. So he comes up and he says, sir, do you realize how fast you were going? I said, I didn't realize. And I look real innocent and I apologize. You know, I try to be real as sweet as I can. But he still gives me a ticket. And it was that I was going twice the speed limit. I could have lost my license. So then instead of, then I thought, this Krishna doesn't work. So instead I had to take shelter my lawyer. And that worked. I got out of the ticket and everything like that. So I thought, well, this is better than Krishna. No, I wasn't thinking like that. So, so we see this often. Even, you know, in our own movement, we see so many things happen and, you know, mismanagement or problems. This, I was asked a question regarding this yesterday. Not yesterday, the day before yesterday. Why do we see so many problems and, you know, traumatic things happen in our movement? In spite, you know, where's Krishna's protection? So it makes one question, you know, why doesn't Krishna protect in spite of all these things, traumatic things, people getting traumatized in different ways? Well, there's many different reasons for that I'm going to explain. One is that Krishna protects us also by giving us intelligence. You know, oftentimes we expect Krishna's protection to be like, you know, Krishna bringing all the food to our door and cooking for us and doing everything for us. And sometimes it happens like that. I remember in the early days of the movement, we were in a temple. I was in a temple, and we didn't have the money for the rent. We were very poor. And the rent was due in the next day. So we went out and Sankirtan, you know, that's all we knew how to do. And we weren't very good at Sankirtan. You were lucky to come back with $1 after a day of Sankirtan, distributing one back to Godhead. And so went on Sankirtan, Krishna, what are we going to do? So Krishna came, and one stranger appeared and just popped in our hands, was it $400 or $500, and disappeared. Wow. Krishna's amazing. So that really increased my faith when I was a new devotee. I was thinking, this is all I have to do now. I don't have to worry about anything or arrange anything. Krishna will take care of everything. I can just sit back and relax now in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna also gives protection in other ways. It's not that directly he's going to do something that you conceive of as amazing, but Krishna will give you the intelligence. Krishna also says in the Gita, when I'm the intelligence in men and women too, I am the strength of the strong. So if we simply expect Krishna to act in one particular way and we neglect how he's acting in another way, we may be at fault for our own problems in Krishna consciousness or our own mismanagement. There's that story Prabhupada tells about the guy who was completely dependent on Krishna. I'm sure you all know this story, so I'm not going to tell it in all detail. And completely dependent on Krishna's protection, and then there was a storm, and the water was rising. And as the water was rising, he was in his house, and a boat came, and he said, no, Krishna's going to protect me. The water rose more. He was on the roof. A helicopter came, and he said, no, Krishna's going to protect me. And then he died, and he went to Krishna and said, why didn't you protect me? And Krishna said, you fool. Didn't you see the boat? Didn't you see the helicopter I sent you, you rascal? So Krishna gives us other means to protect ourselves and other means to arrange things in this world. And oftentimes, we talked about this the other day, oftentimes as devotees or people who are in spirituality, we have this mystical concept that basically we don't have to change the oil in our cars. Yeah, that's what we talked about that the other day. We don't have to have good management in the temple. We don't have to pay the bill, the electric bill, you know, because somehow the Krishna will pay the electric bill. And Ananta will tell you about this, that he has to spend so much time managing, isn't it, Ananta? Headache, isn't it? Prabhupada had so many headaches in his management. Prabhupada was so attentive to detail in management. Prabhupada many times begged us to take over the management so he could translate more books. But we were incapable. Even in India, oh, especially in India, Prabhupada insisted upon signing each and every check in any temple in India because Prabhupada didn't trust the Western devotees. He called them damp, cheap babus, which meant that they would get cheated and thinking they were getting a good deal. India, it's like that. You think you're getting a good deal. Like you buy sandalwood oil in India and you discover it's motor oil. I remember we bought this, well, one devotee bought this sandalwood oil and I said, they said, I got a good price for it. I said, let me see this stuff. And I opened it up and, you know, it smelled like sandalwood oil. But the way you know is you take and put a little on your tongue. I can taste it. I said, no. It's completely mixed with other, you know, they just put the scent, artificial scent, in ordinary oil. So, actually they say, what do they say? In God we trust, everyone else pays cash. You ever hear that statement before? Should I unpack that? In God, we trust God, everybody else, you know, we're very careful with. They have to pay cash, you know, we don't give them credit. So anyway, so Prabhupada was very, very attentive. And so Krishna has given us intelligence, and if there is some problem, it's generally our fault, not that Krishna wasn't protecting. And we have to take responsibility. If there's some manager, someone who makes a mistake or is not attentive or allows something to go on, it's their fault. Like Prabhupada, one time there were devotees who were in an automobile accident. Why were they in an automobile accident? Because they fell asleep while they were driving. Because they didn't get enough sleep the last night, which is a typical thing, at least was a typical thing in the Hare Krishna movement, where everybody, even we used to sleep while I was driving, only at the red lights. So, because we didn't get enough sleep at night. And so Prabhupada said when devotees got killed, and some devotees said it was Krishna's mercy, and Prabhupada said, no, it was their foolishness. You know, so there, according to the Gita, 18th chapter, there's five factors of action. And we're responsible for most of them. Actually, all of them except for one. Suprasil is that's the one factor he takes care of. So generally things work like that. Even if you're ananyas, chintayanta, even if you're completely devoted to Krishna. I mean, Prabhupada got gored by a bull. And Krishna has a reason, you know, things outside of our control. Yes, it's Krishna. And if something unfortunate happens, and it's not our fault, then we should see why Krishna arranged it to teach us a lesson, too. I mean, that's another thing that occurs, or another dynamic that occurs. That sometimes things happen, wasn't our fault, nothing we could have done about it. Why wasn't Krishna protecting? Well, Krishna taught you a lesson. And, you know, you see like that. You know, things happen. I mean, like, for example, like Prabhupada's project in Jhansi fell apart. Why wasn't Krishna giving success to Prabhupada there? You know, if Krishna, the success potency is there, you know, in Krishna's pure devotee's desire. You know, Krishna had a plan. I was listening to a class of Prabhupada this morning, and Prabhupada was talking about his plan before he took sannyas to actually become an ideal grihastha, make money, and preach Krishna. And he said he was fighting against you know, of course, Prabhupada fighting against Krishna plan, but he was fighting against what Krishna wanted. He wanted to do it one way, and Krishna wanted him to do it another way. So that's why sometimes difficult things happen to devotees. And also to bring them closer to Krishna. Of course, the question was raised by Yudhisthira Maharaj to Krishna, isn't it, in Bhagavatam. You know, why were the Pandavas put into so much difficulty in spite of having Krishna as their friend? Actually, Pariksha Maharaj asked that question of Shuka, and Shuka relayed that to an exchange between Krishna and Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Krishna answers, Yashaham anagrinamai harishe tadunam shanai. For those who I especially follow, favor, sometimes I put them into difficulty. I take away everything. Don't get scared. I mean, Prabhupada's father said, if Krishna wants, he has 10 hands, you won't be able to stop him from giving things to you. But if Krishna wants, he has 10 hands, 10 arms, he'll take everything away from you. And you can't fight Krishna. So there's also the Krishna factor. So Krishna puts devotees in difficulty, and that difficulty is meant to purify them. You know, Krishna did that with Srila Prabhupada, Krishna did that with Haridasa Thakur. There's so much difficulty. I mean, ultimately, Krishna's protecting. That's his protection also. Protection from Maya. And don't expect, several things, this material body to be protected forever. And don't expect, in general, for Krishna to alter the dynamics of this material energy. What goes up must come down. Generally, Krishna is not going to change the law of gravity or any of the natural laws in this world. If you eat too much, you'll get sick, even if you chant Hare Krishna as you're eating too much. Isn't it? Don't blame Krishna. So that's another point. Krishna, I mean, there's exceptional cases where Krishna changes the natural law. These are extremely exceptional cases where Krishna provides unlimited sari for Draupadi. Extremely unnatural. Extremely unusual, I'm sorry. Generally, Krishna allows the material energy to act in a certain way. That's why change the oil in your car, put petrol in your car, take care of your health. You know, like devotees here, they go to the Ayurvedic doctor. It's good. It's not you just say, I'm depending on Krishna. Krishna will take care of me. It doesn't matter. I can eat unlimited quantities of sugar. It's good for me. It's prasadam. Well, Prabhu, you get unlimited diabetes, too. So, anyway, so some of the points about Krishna's protection. I thought we'd talk about that because it's related to this verse. You know how Vasudev is actually leaving the prison. All the prison guards are falling asleep. The locks are opening. Don't expect that to happen for you. You still got to follow the law. It's exceptional cases. Okay. Uh-oh, it's late. Any quick questions? Yes. Thank you.
You stressed a very nice point also regarding Shesha and how to worship Govardhan as a servant of the Lord and as the Lord himself. And regarding God protections, I'm also seeing in my own experience, in my own example, and also devotees around, how we easily accept Krishna protection when it's pleasing to us.
Right.
But when it's not, we are neglecting and we are not see that as a Krishna's protection. So I'm just wondering whether that can comes from like lack of spiritual maturity, what you see as a cause of that and how we can transform it.
Well, of course, there's a lack of faith, a lack of understanding of the purpose of Krishna consciousness. I mean, what is the purpose of Krishna consciousness? The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to love Krishna. And Krishna tells us in the material world, in Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, the material world is a place of suffering. And it's a fact, whether you're a devotee or not a devotee. You know, you have to undergo the physical problems in this world, adhyatmic, adhibodhic, and adhidaivic issues. Of course, if you're a devotee, if you're absorbed in Krishna, then your consciousness is on a higher level. But sometimes Krishna puts us in these difficulties so we can put our consciousness on a higher level. So if we remember the goal of Krishna consciousness, the goal of Krishna consciousness is not to become a big devotee. The goal of Krishna consciousness is not to eat a lot of prasadam. The goal... I mean, what is the goal? The goal is not to have a comfortable life. Prabhupada said an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. You know, where do you see in the lives of any of these great devotees an easy life in Krishna consciousness? So, like we're at war with the material energy. So if you remember why you're here, why you're in Krishna consciousness, and that's to love Krishna and to give Krishna to others, then these material miseries will appear to be like stepping stones or assistance in your progress of Krishna consciousness. So it's a question of remembering the goal like that. The goal is not to have a comfortable body. I assure you, that's not going to happen. You know, so most of you, hopefully, all of you will get old at some point. I'm not cursing you. That's a blessing to have a long life, you know. You know, of course, the ultimate blessing is if you're a pure devotee, either live or die, it doesn't matter. But you know, you should have long lives in Krishna consciousness. That means one day you'll be as old as me. And you're going to experience certain things. I've mentioned to the devotees many times, you know, about a year and a half ago, I had kidney stones. You know, it's painful. And all I could do was walk around the room and chant Hare Krishna. I mean, I couldn't even say the whole mantra. All I could do was go, Krishna, Krishna. I couldn't even do, the whole mantra. That's pretty bad, isn't it? It was just, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And I thank Krishna for it. I'm not resentful. Why, Krishna, did you do that to me? I've been following a good diet my whole life, Krishna. I'm a good vegan. I don't hurt any cows. You know, I'm protecting the cows. I love cows. Every morning I get up for Mangal Arati. Why do you do this? I didn't think like that. I thought, thank you, Krishna. So, yeah, whatever happens, we see Krishna behind it, we understand what Krishna is saying or teaching us, and then we understand what to do. There's three steps. It's Krishna, unless it's our fault. You know, if I do something stupid, like the other day, one of the devotees passed away because he didn't put his seatbelts on in the car. So, yeah, you could say it's Krishna, but actually... it's also his fault. You know, so we wear seatbelts. You know, I remember one devotee, when seatbelts first came out, and I put the seatbelt on, the devotee said, you don't have to do that. It wasn't the law at that particular point. In India, it happens all the time. You get in a car, and you're in a taxi, and you put the seatbelt on, and the taxi wala says, you don't have to wear a seatbelt. We don't have to do that until we get into Delhi. And I said, no, I'm going to wear a seatbelt. Yeah, I was in a taxi one time. We were in the Jamuna Expressway, which is probably one of the only fastest roads, you know, expressways, motorways, around that part. And the taxi driver kept falling asleep. And I said, get some tea. You know, of course, sannyasi saying drink tea. Anyway, so he said, no, I don't need tea. I said, you need tea. Stop the car and drink tea. So, anyway, sometimes it's a person's foolishness when they have problems. But otherwise, we see Krishna. What is Krishna saying? And what do I need to do? Those three things. So that's the point. So with the kidney stones, I definitely saw Krishna. I mean, it wasn't painful. It wasn't a pleasant Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, when he saw the bombs falling, in Calcutta during the World War. He said, this is Krishna, but he said, not a lovable form of Krishna. But he saw Krishna. Prabhupada was so determined when the bombs were falling, he didn't go into the fallout shelter. He actually just kept eating prasadam. He didn't want the bombs to disturb his prasadam. Prabhupada was very strong about that. He said, when you're eating prasadam, you don't have to offer obeisances. For Prabhupada, eating prasadam was something extremely sacred. He would meditate on the food, the prasadam, when he was eating. I think we have to end now. Anyway, some interesting points. Thank you for your question. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.